You're listening to RTFM, the podcast where electronic music artist Daltrick reads the friendly manual. Each episode, we'll explore different pieces of literature, including user guides, manuals, and appendices created by music product manufacturers for their users and fans around the world. I'm your host, Daltrick. Today, I wanted to talk about something that is personally one of my favorite things to tell people about, especially if they haven't heard of it before. I like sharing with people the idea that you can have lots of extended possibilities with Bitwig's Unified Modulation System. This is Chapter 14.2, the Unified Modulation System from the Bitwig User Manual. The Unified Modulation System. In sound synthesis, modulation is the idea that one component can influence another in a controlled way. For a simple musical example, think of vibrato, the subtle bending of a pitch back and forth. To achieve this with synthesis, we often connect the output of a low-frequency oscillator, or an LFO, to a pitch input of an oscillator. The frequency of the LFO determines the rate of the vibrato, and the level of the LFO's signal determines the depth of the modulation. Modulation can lead to elements that automatically change over time, based on assigned parameters and pre-existing control sources. Some would say that modulation leads to more interesting and efficient results in sound programming. These are both good points. In the days of modular hardware synthesizers, each modulation was highly visible as it was achieved by a patch cord properly connecting two modules. But in our era of computer-based music production, we see knobs on screen far more often than patch cords, and assigning, or even showing, modulations has become a real challenge. Many different interface models have been attempted, but no standard has been found. Bitwig Studio has its own unique program-wide method for dealing with modulations. This unified modulation system allows you to easily assign and edit modulations so you don't get stuck with fixed modulation routings. It also preserves parameter control as often as possible, so the modulated parameter's knob can still be used, allowing you to easily shift the modulation range. Even the current value of a modulated parameter is visible with this unified modulation system. In this section, we will explore the unified modulation system by learning to work with Bitwig Studio's unique modulator devices. We will then see the same principles used to assign modulations within an instrument. 14.2.1. Modulator devices. While most systems require us to work around a fixed number of modulation sources, say, two LFOs, three envelope generators, perhaps some control over key tracking, and maybe a sidechain source for using external audio or note messages, these choices tend to be arbitrary and formulaic from the user perspective. Some sounds require no LFOs, and some require 10. In Bitwig Studio, these options are left completely open for the user. Modulator devices are special purpose modules that are made to be loaded into any device. Their purpose is to allow a particular method of control over device parameters. Types of modulators include mappable interface controls, such as button, buttons, macro 4, and macro. Standard sources of modulation signals, such as 4-stage, ADSR, AHDSR, beat LFO, classic LFO, LFO, and steps. Methods for using incoming MIDI and note messages, such as key track, MIDI, and note sidechain. Use of external signals for modulation, such as audio sidechain, envelope follower, and hardware CV-in, or HW-CV-in. Options for using one signal to be split across multiple destinations, such as select 4, vector 4, vector 8, and XY. Interesting ways of blending control signals to create a signal modulation source, such as mix for crossfading two levels or signals, and math for creating more complex relationships. A little bit of chaos with random. Note, for descriptions of the modulator devices, see section 17.19. If you click the modulators button, the modulators pane is toggled to be visible. an empty modulator pane loads with three available modulator slots. If all modulator devices are loaded into all three slots, another three slots will appear, and they will keep appearing as often as you run out. In the center of each modulator slot is an Add Modulator button. Clicking this button calls up a special version of the pop-up browser. As we discussed before in previous chapters, the pop-up browser is context-sensitive, providing the most relevant options for the place we have invoked it. Calling it up from the modulator pane provides only modulator devices. Otherwise, the pop-up browser is working as we would expect it to, providing categories for the available devices and previewing any selected device in the device panel. And again, clicking OK places the selected device onto the track. To cut, copy, paste, duplicate, or delete a modulator, right-click the background of the modulator slot, such as the modulator's name. Also note that the option to toggle modulators as active or not is also present in the context menu. This is a good way to bypass a modulator for a moment. In this example, we have selected the buttons modulator. This device provides two controls which can be toggled to manipulate any assigned parameters. As each button is separately assignable, this device has two modulation routing buttons. The modulation routing button resembles an output port with a patch cord coming out of it, awaiting connection. Clicking a modulation routing button switches to a mode where you can select as many destinations as you like, each with its own modulation amount. When enabled, the button itself begins flashing. All currently assigned destinations become brightly colored, and all potential destinations are shaded. Note, when a modulator device possesses multiple modulation routing buttons, each button is sometimes represented by only the initial circle of the icon. An example of this is the Vector 8 device, which has 8 modulation routing buttons spread along the sides and corners of a square. To create a modulation routing, enable the modulation source's modulation routing button. Then, click the target parameter and drag its value to set the point of maximum modulation. Note, because the modulation range is set relatively, the range displayed is also relative and does not directly correspond to the parameter's values. So, you can twist the modulation range past the parameter's normal range, and this is correct. You can assign additional parameters in the same fashion. So in this EQ2 example, we have a high-pass filter set around 80 Hz and a bell filter bringing level down about 3 dB around 3.6 kHz. While button A of our buttons modulator is off, those default values remain in place. Image description is of EQ2. But when button A is switched on, its modulations kick in. This shifts the high-pass filter up, putting its cutoff frequency around 2 kHz. The bell filter has its cutoff lowered a bit, its gain increased a great deal, and its Q increased slightly. The parameters and the frequency graphic all indicate these adjustments with cyan markers showing the current state of things. In an auditory sense, these parameter adjustments narrow and focus the frequencies being passed through. Buttons is a relatively simple modulator, offering a binary transition from one set of parameter values to another. Two points worth noting. First, unlike the discrete behavior of buttons, many modulators work in a continuous way, either transitioning smoothly between states or responding proportionately. Second, many modulator devices have additional controls that don't fit within their allotted modulator slot. These modulators have a right-facing triangle on the middle of their right edge. When this button is clicked, a pane of additional modulator parameters is exposed. It is also worth noting that all modulator parameters, both those present atop the modulator slot and those within the additional parameters pane, can themselves be targets of modulation. Once modulation mappings are present, they can be manipulated and duplicated in myriad ways, either from the inspector panel, see section 14.2.3.3, or from the device panel. To clear a modulation routing from the modulation source, right-click the source's modulation routing button, and then click the X icon to the left of the desired parameter. To clear all modulation routings from a modulation source, right-click the source's modulation routing button and then select Delete. Note, the cut, copy, and paste options from the context menu above also apply to all modulation routings, allowing you to move all listed modulation routings between different modulators. Additional options for dragging and copying modulation routings are available from the Inspector panel. Modulation routings can also be removed from the parameter being targeted. To clear a modulation routing from the parameter under control, right-click the parameter. Under the Modulation Routings section of the context menu, find the desired modulation source and click the X icon at the far right. 14.2.2. Modulations within a device. Several devices have their own built-in modulation sources. Instrument devices are the best examples, so let's look at Bitwig Studio's synthesis flagship PolySynth. Two onboard control sources are available here, both representing control modules within PolySynth. FEG, which stands for Filter Envelope Generator, is hardwired to the filter's cutoff frequency, just as AEG, the Amplitude Envelope Generator, controls the volume amplifier of the instrument. The presence of a modulation routing button on each of these envelope generators suggests that they can also be used for other modulations. Clicking on one of these buttons enables a modulation routing mode, similar to how it worked with modulator devices. In fact, all behaviors related to connecting, editing, and clearing modulations work exactly the same in all contexts. This is the virtue of a unified system. One difference in the example above is that the modulation routing buttons for FEG and AEG, as well as all available target parameters, are tinted light green. In the previous section's modulator examples, everything was tinted blue. These subtle shadings do indicate a small but critical difference. The blue color here indicates a monophonic modulation. In the context of modulation sources, a monophonic source generates only one control signal that is then applied to all targets identically. But a green color indicates a polyphonic modulation. Polyphonic sources produce multiple control signals, potentially providing a unique signal for each note event. This is the same idea we experienced with expressions before in a previous chapter, where each note contained its own concurrent curve. As with musical instruments, polyphony and monophony represent two distinct palettes. This is to say that there is no winner between the two. In different cases, each paradigm is preferable. And in Bitwig Studio, we sometimes get a choice between the two. By adding an LFO modulator device to PolySynth, it and its potential destinations will appear in blue. Because of Bitwig Studio's per-note modulation capabilities, modulators such as this LFO can be switched to a polyphonic mode. To toggle a modulator between monophonic and polyphonic mode, right-click anywhere within an occupied modulator slot, and then toggle the per-voice option. Once the per-voice option is enabled, this modulator will begin working in polyphonic mode. Finally, while nested devices can be modulated from the top-level device, polyphonic modulation sources are usually made available as summed monophonic signals. An example can be seen here with the FEG module monophonically targeting a nested de-esser device. 14.2.3, Devices in the Inspector Panel. When a device is selected and the Inspector Panel is visible, modulation sources and active modulation routings are the primary parameters being displayed, but a few other parameters are uniquely available in the top of the inspector panel. Displayed at the top are the device's name and category, along with a short description. After these read-only entries are three standard parameters. First is a text field for the name of the device. By default, the official name of the device is shown in italicized silver. This can be overridden by typing a name into the field. Deleting an entered name restores the device's official name. The active option toggles whether the device is currently active or deactivated. Note, for more information on activating and deactivating project elements, see section 3.2.5. The Enable toggle is a functional mirror of the device's Device Enable button. Beyond these standard parameters, each device has its own parameters in the Inspector panel. To make sense of the range of possibilities, we will look at various examples now, starting with voice parameters for Bitwig Studio instruments and MPE options for plugins. Then, we will examine the two modulation-related tabs for general devices and a modulator device that has inspector parameters. 14.2.3.1. Voice parameters for instruments. Several of Bitwig Studio's instruments feature a variety of voice-related parameters in their inspectors, just below the standard device parameters. The voices setting determines the number of triggerable voices. When this is set to two or more, the instrument is capable of polyphony. This also engages voice management, which means that each voice is only active from the time a note-on signal triggers it until the voice is considered finished. So the active voices readout above is showing that 0 out of 12 potential voices are currently engaged, and it will remain so until a new note successfully triggers the instrument. Image description above is of the PolySynth device panel. When voices is set to 1, the instrument is now in one of two monophonic modes, which the display is indicating by showing mono. True mono mode acts similarly to a monophonic analog synthesizer, including the behavior of trigger-based envelopes and the fact that the voice in use is always on, reflected in the active voices of 1 over 1 in the image above. On the other hand, Digimono mode acts like a modern monophonic recreation. All envelopes start from the beginning of the attack stage because two voices are actually alternated here to create a slightly overlapping version of mono. And since using two voices is technically polyphonic, voice management is engaged, just as the active voices of 0 over 1 in the image above indicates. Note, any of the three voice modes can work with voice stacking, which simply multiplies each engaged voice with additional voices. See section 14.2.4. Additionally, either mono mode offers re-trigger options for legato playing, either starting or releasing a note while another note is being held. These options dictate whether envelope generators will re-trigger never, only on note-on signals, or on both note-on and note-off signals, which is always. Finally, the steal same key option allows each note played to kill any voice previously triggered by the same note over the set steal fade time. 14.2.3.2, plugin inspector parameters. When a plugin is selected, the inspector panel shows a few options. The Suspend option sets how Bitwig Studio determines when the plugin is not needed and can be safely suspended for the time being. When this occurs, the plugin's power button icon turns into a moon, indicating that it is resting and saving CPU cycles. There are three options for this setting. Never, the plugin remains active perpetually. When silent, Bitwig Studio determines when the plugin isn't needed, based on whether audio is going into and out of the plugin. Trust plugin, which is the default setting. Bitwig Studio uses background notifications from the plugin to determine when it is not active. When the plugin is enabled to use MPE, which stands for multi-dimensional polyphonic expression, the functional pitch bend range can be set in semitones. So the example above of plus minus 48 semitones represents a range of 4 octaves up and down. For more information on plugins and MPE, see section 14.3. 14.2.3.3, the Modulation Sources tab. The Modulation Sources tab is the first tab. Its icon suggests a parameter that is continuing onward in modulation. Each modulation source of the selected device is listed here, along with a functional modulation routing button. Beneath each modulation source entry is a list of all active modulations coming from that source. The amount of modulation is shown in orange at the far right and can be adjusted here. And the silver X that precedes the parameter name on the far left can be clicked to terminate the modulation. In addition, you can also move an individual modulation target from one source to another. To move a modulation routing from one modulation source to another, click on its silver name, then drag it onto a different modulation source and release. In the image above, for example, you could drag the gain entry listed under ADSR to key track instead. Now incoming note pitches would be manipulating the gain value. To copy a modulation routing from one modulation source to another, click on its silver name and then drag it onto a different modulation source and release while holding Alt. And to copy or move all modulation routings from a particular source, click on the source's title in white. In the above example, ADSR would work, or its modulation routing button. Note that the available actions listed in the window footer, see section 2.2.3, provides helpful reminders of what drag actions are available. Similar actions are also available in the device panel when alt-dragging either modulation routing, buttons, or target parameters themselves. Again, the available actions serve as a very helpful reference in that case as well. 14.2.3.4, the Modulation Destinations tab. The Modulation Destinations tab is the second tab. Its icon suggests a parameter that is being modulated. Each parameter being actively modulated in the selected device is listed here. Beneath each parameter is a list of all active modulations reaching that parameter. The amount of modulation is shown in orange at the far right and can be adjusted here. And the silver X that precedes the parameter name on the far left can be clicked to terminate the modulation. Similar options are also available in this tab for moving or copying modulation routings from one destination to another. See section 14.2.3.3. 14.2.3.5, Modulator Inspector Example. Each modulator has its own inspector panel as well. Each modulator shows its modulation sources and mappings, but Expressions happens to have a couple of parameters as well. 14.2.4, Voice Stacking. Before diving into voice stacking, a little context regarding polyphony is in order. Synthesizers that can play more than one note at a time generally use one voice for each note being triggered. So the number of voices available to the synthesizer limits how many notes can be played at a time. Unison is a classic synthesizer technique for creating thicker sounds. It works by layering multiple voices for each note played and slightly adjusting some settings for each voice in an imperfect analog fashion. So if a synthesizer has a two-voice unison mode, each note played will sound two detuned voices. This would help thicken the sound while also reducing the number of voices, or polyphony, available. Bitwig's voice stacking starts from the same principle, allowing you to layer multiple voices for each engaged played. Each stack can then have any parameter varied per voice, either individually or in a distributed fashion. Note, devices that support voice stacking include Bitwig Studio's FM4, Phase4, Polysynth, Polygrid, Sampler, and even the FX Grid audio effect. As multiple voices are being used for each single note played, voice stacking can steeply increase the load on your processor. In the inspector panel of the selected device, voice stacking is right beneath the voice's setting. So if voices is set to 5 and voice stacking is set to 3, then you can play up to 5 notes and each will have 3 unique voices sounding together. As the device shown above currently has no engaged voices, the active voices are listed as 0 over 15. In the inspector panel of the selected device, voice stacking is right beneath the voices setting. So if voices is set to 5 and voice stacking is set to 3, then you can play up to 5 notes and each will have 3 unique voices sounding together. As the device shown above currently has no engaged voices, the active voices are listed as 0 over 15. The first modulator available below in the inspector is Voice Stack Spread plus minus. Assigning this modulation source to a parameter spreads each voice in the stack in an even, bipolar fashion across the modulation range. Let's take an example case. In the image above, the stack spread modulator is targeting the pulse width of oscillator 2. The modulation amount is currently plus 0.1. So with our setting of 3 voices per note, the range of modulation is spread across these 3 voices so that voice 1 is modulated by minus 0.1. Voice 2 is unmodulated at 0, and voice 3 is modulated at the full plus 0.1. If the number of voices per note is changed, the full range of minus 0.1 to plus 0.1 will be maintained, and the spacing between the voices will uniformly fit that range. Note, additional options for either mapping modulations across voice stacks or for controlling each voice in a stack individually are available from the voice stack modulator. See section 17.19.2.13. So that's all we have for today, and thanks everyone for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to it, and you can also follow my work on various online platforms. I spell my name as D-O-L-L-T-R exclamation point C-K, and when the exclamation points aren't allowed, I'm Daltrick, D-O-L-L-T-R-I-C-K. My website is daltrick.com, and you can find me on Instagram, Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, Twitter, Anchor for this podcast, and more. If you enjoy my content and would like to support my creations, you can find me on Patreon at patreon.com/daltrick. Or if you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can head over to ko-fi.com/daltrick, because I love coffee. My original music is also available for download on Bandcamp at daltrick.bandcamp.com. So please consider supporting me there if you can. And one last thing, in celebration of Women's History Month this March, I'm taking commissions for new musical content. So you can head over to daltrick.com/whm for more information about how to commission a song from me. And once again, thank you everyone for tuning in, and have a lovely rest of the day. Daltrick.